a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Call to order on Senate Commerce and Energy Committee. I'd like to greet everyone in the room. Thanks for coming and thanks for bearing with us. I know we're starting just a little bit late, but it's a busy Capitol today, and we have lots of people with lots of different personal concerns that they had to attend to. I'd like to greet everyone who's listening on the Internet. Thanks for participating in your legislative process. I'd like to first introduce the page. If you would come up to the table and introduce yourself and say where you're from, and you can say hi, Mom, or something, too.
Hi, my name is Anna Stamba, and I am from Dupree, South Dakota. I'm a senior there.
Thank you very much. A reminder to turn off the cell phones for everyone here. Just don't count on them being off. If they go off, here in Commerce and Energy, we do impose a hefty fine. So, with that, the Secretary will call the roll.
The following Senators, Bogalka,
here.
Buell,
here.
Jensen,
here.
Johnston, Maher,
here.
Lederman,
here.
Helene,
here.
Six of seven.
A quorum is present. Senator Johnston, I believe, will be here later. He is excused for the moment. And with that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
Second.
Moved by Senator Buell.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Jensen. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We've got a quiet committee today. Okay. Please sign in if you plan to testify on any of the bills for or against it. And just make sure that you do that, and then we will get that to the Secretary during the process. With that, the Chair will move to consideration of bills. Oh, sorry. We did minutes. just a notice. First on the docket for today is Senate Bill 61. We are going to defer action on that. Talking with some of the interested parties behind the scenes, it seems that there is still some discussion that might be better served for the people and the process to be done ahead of time, so we are going to defer action on 61 until sometime next week. Next on the docket, then, is Senate Bill 62, an act to revise certain requirements regarding when an insurer's certificate of authority may be revoked. With that, any proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Joshua Anderson, and I am with the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation with their Division of Insurance. Senate Bill 62 before you today is a bill that comes from the division that takes care of two things that have come up in law in the last year for us. The first part of the bill seeks to clarify that the division's authority applies not only to those types of insurance and those provisions that are found within the insurance code, but also those which might be found outside of it. For example, workers' compensation has its own chapter, so it's not found within Title 58. The financial responsibility law here in South Dakota is found within the motor vehicle chapter. So Section 1 of the bill simply outlines specifically that this would apply to those types of insurance as well as the other types found within Title 58 specifically. Section 2 of the bill comes out of a matter we had before us a couple of years ago with an insurance company that had a certificate of authority revoked. To operate in this state, every insurance company must have a certificate of authority from the director that allows them to come in and say, I'm licensed to operate here. And if something truly egregious happens, that certificate of authority can be revoked. It has only happened one time in the last 10 years. I think that gives you a reference point as to how extraordinary the circumstances have to be for that to happen. But what we discovered is that after that certificate is gone, there's no longer anything that gives the director or the department regulatory authority over an insurer. And we still have valid contracts in place insuring South Dakota consumers and nothing to help protect them in the event that that insurer would do some kind of bad act. So we've sought to remedy that through Section 2 of the bill. And what this does is it says in that extreme event that a certificate of authority is revoked, the director has the option to order that that insurer move that business to another licensed insurer in the state. We've had some questions come up about who would make that decision. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it is the insurer who had their certificate of authority revoked, they can go out and they can find a partner to work with that is the best business, you know, makes the most business sense for them, and then come to the director and seek his approval for that move. But the point of it is simply to give South Dakota consumers that peace of mind, knowing that if the company they're with has done something so egregious as to get their certificate revoked, that they can be moved and placed with another licensed company that is able to operate legally in our state. And I think that's a general overview of it. And with that, I will stand by for any questions you may have.
Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponents? Hearing none, I'll open for any opponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I represent State Farm Insurance. First, I want to apologize to the department. We've had a long history of working through issues in advance of bills coming in here. Over the 31 years that I've lobbied in the insurance industry, we have done that for a long, long time. We try to identify issues that separate us, and we try to repair them before we get the bill in front of you so that we're not asking you to amend it or fix it. But I have received what I guess would be kind of late notice in terms of how we normally function, concerns about Senate Bill 62, and let me share with you what those are. Under the language of the bill, we're talking about a situation where the company in question has had their certificate revoked. So the minute that happens, they are in a situation where they have a right to appeal. Their judicial remedy is to go to court. Whenever there's a final decision of an administrative body, any administrative body, you have a right to appeal that decision and take your issue to the judicial system so that it can be properly evaluated and determined whether it was an accurate and appropriate thing to do or whether it may have been arbitrary and capricious. That's how the world and how our judicial system, through due process, protects you and I from overzealous administrative action. Please don't take that to suggest that the division's doing that here or in other cases. I'm just talking in a general way, as we have a very good relationship with them. But it's the point that I need to make here is that this mechanism, and maybe it's just the way it's structured, appears to suggest that I'm going to take away your right to do what you do. End of story. But after I've done that already, and before you've had a chance to go through a judicial administrative appeal, I'm going to order you to do something. I'm going to order you to issue new policies. That seems to us to be backward. It seems to us to allow an administrative act which would interfere with the due process of appealing to the courts to review and determine whether that was an appropriate decision. And that's our concern with the bill. So.
Thank you. Any further opponents? Any further opponents? Hearing none, we'll close to testimony and open it up for questions from the committee. Senator Buell. Did you? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Rebuttal from the agency? Thank you, Senator Buell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in talking with Mr. Thiessen, it has been suggested that if we were to look at line 15 of the bill, after the word revoked, after that comma there, if we inserted some simple language that said, and all appeals had been exhausted, we think that that would still give the division what it needs or it's trying to accomplish with the bill and would satisfy any concerns that that others might have with any kind of misstep with the administrative process and the due process rights of the certificate holder. So I think a simple amendment of that type, just inserting and all appeals of the revocation had been exhausted, could satisfy everybody's concerns and get everybody where they'd like to be today. Thank you.
We will open it up to questions from the committee. Senator Beal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Anderson? If I may, I started thinking after I was looking at this, and we spoke yesterday, and I was sort of wondering about the process for what that looks like on the receiving insurers end. Given the scenario of like a long-term care situation where the bad acting insurance company would have been insuring and receiving premiums over a number of years for any number of policies, and then they, through rat actions or whatever, get their certificate revoked, they're pushed out of the state, and there's a new company selected by the director to provide that insurance. Am I right so far?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Buell, I think the only point of clarity would be that, under, as I understand how it's written, the insurer would be able to select a business partner to move that business to, subject to the director's approval. So, yes, the director would ultimately have final approval over it, but I think that there would be a dialogue between the first insurer and the second prior to the division becoming involved in that approval process.
Thank you. The second part of my question, if I may, Mr. Chair, is, so does that then mean that the receiving company is assuming risk that they didn't have premiums for that number of years leading up to that to offset that risk? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Senator Buell, frequently in the insurance world, it does happen where a block of business would move from one company to the other, and typically when that block of business moves, there's also a transfer of the reserves and other monetary considerations that move with it in order to compensate that second company for the risk that they're taking on.
That helps a lot. Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Johnston.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson. In line 6 of the printed bill, it says, if the director finds after a hearing thereon that the insurer, does not that imply due process?
Mr. Chairman. Yes, Senator, I believe that it does. Additionally, all of these hearings that involve a contested case and a licensure matter is automatically a contested case, kick in the procedural due process rights under the APA, which is found in 126 in South Dakota law, and you've got additional due process rights there. With that being said, specifically more lay that out as Mr. Teason's concern, again, I think we can do that with some very simple language.
Mr. Chair, follow-up? But wouldn't that make the suggested additional language irrelevant?
Mr. Chairman? Senator, I don't think that it would make it irrelevant in that I think that the language we would be potentially adding lines up with the same rights that would be found in the Administrative Procedures Act. So we'd be saying it, in essence, potentially in two places, but ultimately sometimes the specific is more useful than the general.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? The chair has a question for Mr. Teason. Mr. Teason, I know that there was a discussion taking place between the two of you and an amendment was moved, but I want to make sure to give you the chance to publicly and place it on the record that this would be an agreeable compromise between the two parties and that your concerns would be dealt with.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that quick thinking. That was Randy Moses. And I appreciate that, because I do think that the language that they suggested probably addresses the point I was trying to make. And I think that it does improve the bill considerably. Makes me feel a lot better, because it makes clear that that due process includes appeals from a decision contrary to your interests, as opposed to simply a hearing. So that was the point I think that Mr. Anderson was making too, that this will ensure that they have a right to do their appeal and ask a judge to decide whether or not the department was correct in their ruling, and that whole process would be completed before they engage in ordering the issuance of new policies. So, yes, I guess the short answer is yes, sir.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Hearing none, we'll close it for questions and move to discussion and or action from the committee. Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move an amendment so we can discuss the bill as amended. I would like to move to amend line 15 to include, and all appeals have been exhausted after the word revoked. Thank you.
Second.
Would the language preferably be, and all appeals of the revocation have been revoked? Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Have been exhausted,
yes. Could you read that back to us and sign a number?
We'll assign the number afterwards. We can just put it in as a voice vote. But the language says, and all appeals of the revocation have been exhausted.
Okay. The amendment has been moved by Senator Lederman and seconded by Senator Maher. The amendment reads, on line 15, after revoked, comma, it reads, and all appeals of the revocation have been exhausted. All those in favor of the amendment, vote aye. All those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll. Oh, votes void on amendment. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passage of the amendment. Now we will discuss Senate Bill 62 as amended. So this will include the amendment. If you want to talk to the to the amendment and the bill, Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see this bill as a common sense approach to protect a consumer. I see it as a consumer protection bill, and I would ask for everybody's agreeable vote to get this passed to the floor. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Maher.
I'll make a motion of due pass as amended on 62.
Motion of due pass as amended, moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Jensen. Any discussion on that? All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
It is unanimous.
Unanimous vote in favor of due pass Senate Bill 62 as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lederman.
I move consent.
Yes,
moved consent by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Johnston. All those in favor say aye. Actually, we did find out after last committee meeting that if an amendment was unanimously passed. I believe that all legislative process would be dealt with, because we did get agreement from the opponent testimony, from the opponent to testify that the amendment would satisfy the fears, which would mean that the testimony would be agreeable, and as long as the committee is in agreement that the amendment, or 62 as amended, is okay, we can move consent. With that said, there is a motion to do pass, place it on consent calendar. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Sorry. Senate Bill 62 as amended does pass and place it on the consent calendar. Thank you very much, committee. Thank you very much to both Mr. Anderson and Mr. Teason. Next on the docket is Senate Bill 65, an act to revise certain exemptions from licensure by the Real Estate Commission. We'll give just a moment to have some people leave the room. Any proponents to testify?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Melissa Miller, and I'm the Executive Director of the Real Estate Commission. Senate Bill 65 makes it easier to see who qualifies for licensing exemptions from the South Dakota Real Estate Commission. Section 1 accomplishes this by repealing obsolete language and clarifying who does not qualify for the exemptions. Section 2 adds an exemption for businesses who take money to list real estate in either sale or print, for sale in either print or online media. An example would be like the RE605 magazine. The South Dakota Real Estate Commission has held several meetings to discuss this legislation, and we've also worked with the South Dakota Realtors Association. I ask for your support of Senate Bill 65. I'll stand by for any questions.
Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, excuse me, Dean Krogman, and I represent South Dakota Association of Realtors, and we agree with this bill and ask for your support. Is that on?
I believe it was on. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Hearing none, we'll move to any opponents. Any opponents to Senate Bill 65? Hearing none, we'll close testimony and open it up for questions from the committee. Hearing none, we'll move, close questions and move to committee discussion and or action. Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass.
Motion of due pass moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Johnston. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
7 in favor, none opposed.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnston.
Move consent.
Motion of consent moved by Senator Johnston, seconded by Senator Lederman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 65 is moved due pass and placed on the consent calendar. Thank you very much, committee. Next on the docket is Senate Bill 66, an act to revise the style and form of certain provisions, to amend certain provisions, to streamline and clarify, and to repeal certain obsolete and unnecessary provisions pertaining to the Real Estate Commission. Welcome back, Mrs. Miller.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Again, my name is Melissa Miller, and I'm the Executive Director of the Real Estate Commission. Senate Bill 66 is an act to revise style and form of certain provisions, to amend certain provisions, and to streamline and clarify and repeal certain obsolete and unnecessary provisions pertaining to the Real Estate Commission. As you know, Governor Dugard asked each department to review its statutes, rules, and policies with a goal to reduce, shorten, and simplify regulation. The South Dakota Real Estate Commission has worked with the commission members over the past year to obtain this goal. Senate Bill 66 is cleanup bill. There's clarification language, gender cleanup, and repealing of obsolete law. I do have an amendment to this bill.
Has it been distributed? We don't have a page. Thank you, Mr. Krogman. You have a future in the legislature.
Finally, something he can handle.
Yes. Would you like to come forward and introduce yourself, say where you're from and where you might be going to school next year? I think we have a few people up here who would have a place for you somewhere. So the chair will grant leniency to talk to the amendment as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment is on page 5, section 6. It's a strike-through error that we made, but it also clarifies the broker price opinion and comparative market analysis. I just want to add that we've worked with the South Dakota Realtors Association to complete this legislation, and I ask for your support of Bill 66. I'll stand by for any questions.
Any further proponents? Welcome back, Mr. Krogman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Realtors, and we have looked at this and worked with the commission and would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 66? Hearing none, time, we'll move to opponent testimony. Any opponents to Senate Bill 66? Hearing none, we'll close testimony and open it up for questions from the committee. Everyone's hands are down. We'll close questions and move to discussion and or action. And I would remind the committee that we do have an amendment that needs to be moved.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
At this time, I'd like to move Amendment 66SA.
Movement to accept the Amendment 66 Samuel Alpha. Moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Johnston. Terribly sorry, hybrid. Johnston.
Hybrid between you and Johnston.
Voice vote?
Yes.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. Senate Amendment 66SA is moved and placed into Senate Bill 66. With that, we have an amended bill. Any discussion and or action? Senator Jensen, and I did get that right. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to pass Senate Bill 66 as amended.
Motion of do pass Senate Bill 66 as amended, moved by Senator Jensen. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Lederman. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogolka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Pauline?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Unanimous vote in favor. I apologize that I did not give you a chance to comment upon that movement or that motion. Any further action from the committee? Senator Bogolka.
I would like to move consent on Senate Bill 66.
Movement of consent on Senate Bill 66, moved by Senator Bogolka, seconded by Senator Jensen. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Senate Bill 66, do pass as amended, is placed on the consent calendar. Final bill up today is Senate Bill 52, an act to authorize 1 cent credit denominations for video lottery machines, to authorize the award of $1,000 on a video lottery machine, and to make form and style changes to certain provisions regarding the lottery. Any proponents to testify on Senate Bill 52?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, member of the committees, Norm Lingle, Executive Director of the South Dakota Lottery. Senate Bill 52 before you comes as a result of a two-day strategic planning meeting that the Lottery Commission had to frankly just kind of look at the lottery as a whole and to understand and perhaps propose changes that would help us ensure that the lottery remains a viable source of funding for the state of South Dakota's programs and initiatives as we move forward. The bill does three things. It makes penny an eligible denomination for video lottery terminals. It eliminates the bet-to-award ratio and caps the maximum award at $1,000, which is the current cap for the most you can win on a video lottery terminal, and as well as cleans up and clarifies existing lottery statutes. And with that, I'd just kind of like to step through the changes that are in this bill. The first one is on page 1, line 8. This is a form and style change recommended by LRC. Moving down that page on line 12, that is where you see that the insertion of a penny to be an eligible credit for a video lottery machine to go along with nickel, dime, and quarter. The purpose of having a penny as an eligible denomination is that many of the machine manufacturers that manufacture video lottery terminals have an extensive library of games that are all programmed at the base denomination of a penny. And so by allowing a penny, it will hopefully allow for the ease of submission into South Dakota for testing and approval, and hopefully allow our manufacturers to keep the games fresh on the video lottery terminals. You move over to page 2 and 3, you will see the insertion of the word entity or entities. This is frankly just to allow for all accepted forms of businesses to be licensed by the lottery. On page 3, I'd also like to point out on line 10, the removal of the but not limited to, which is a form and style change from LRC. And I just wanted to clarify that as long as a game meets the requirements of 42.7A, it will not limit the type of variety games that the Lottery Commission can approve for placement in South Dakota. Page 4. I'll just mention this here, too. Another but not limited to, you're going to see that throughout this document where that is being removed as a form and style change. Page 4, line 6, this change would eliminate the need to submit quarterly financial statements to the Lottery Commission, the governor, state treasurer, attorney general, and legislature. The lottery will continue to generate the yearly financial reports. Page 5, beginning on line 13, this change would eliminate the lottery prize payment fund. This is a fund that has not been used by the lottery. The lottery deposits funds and pays prizes from the lottery operating fund. Moving over to page 6, on line 8, this change would eliminate the reference to the state corrections facility funds as a beneficiary of the net proceeds from the sale of instant and online funds. Quite frankly, that obligation has come and went, and they are no longer a benefactor of the instant or online ticket net proceeds. Page 6, line 15, this is just a cleanup of unnecessary language. Moving down to line 17. This deletes the word video. There's no such thing as online video lottery tickets. They are online lottery tickets. Okay, line 23 is just the reference to the lottery prize payment fund again. Moving over to page 7, on lines 3 and 4, currently, as it sits, for every 25 cents that a player plays, they can win a maximum of $125. And with the $2 bet limit, the current maximum using that ratio is $1,000. So what we are proposing is to make the max award $1,000, but eliminate that bet-to-award ratio. So the max award is not changing from what it currently is. The math as to how you work that in between there, we look at that as a benefit to our machine manufacturers as they design software for new games. And it's also my understanding that South Dakota is the only jurisdiction that has that type of a bet-to-award ratio. And so once again, we see this as a way for manufacturers to tap into their existing library of games and hopefully will allow our machine owners to keep games fresh on their VLTs. Moving on, page 7, on line 9 and 13, we are proposing some changes as to how we bill out our testing costs as it relates to testing of the VLTs and the game softwares. What this does is allows the lottery the option to either collect an estimate up front are to conduct that testing and then bill back to the respective manufacturers as the costs are incurred. Really, this kind of aligns with what our current practice is within the lottery. Okay, on page 7, beginning on line 17, this is just cleanup. Establishments already have to meet the requirements of 427A44 as it relates to the placement of machines. And what 427A44 talks about is needing a on-sale alcohol license, no more than 10 machines per establishment, no one under the age of 21, those types of requirements. Okay, on page 7, lines 21 and 22, this would repeal 427A61. This language is unnecessary as a nickel is already an approved credit denom for video lottery games. And then down on line 24, carrying over to the next page, this change will repeal 427A65, as this language is no longer necessary, the obligations for fiscal year 96 have been met. And so with that, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 52 and would stand by for any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Is there any further proponents?
Good morning. Representative Jim Peterson, District 4. Always good to be back on the Senate side.
We like having you. So.
Thank you. It was my pleasure for the last year and a half of serving on the Video Lottery Commission. And to be frankly honest about it, that commission is just one of the most excellent commissions or boards that I've ever served on. The governor has done an excellent job of selecting people with financial backgrounds and with lottery business backgrounds, and I felt like a fish out of water being an ag guy. But these people are quite progressive, and they're looking for ways to improve this business. And please do not make this a referendum on gambling. The voters have voted on that several times. What this has to be is a way of trying to improve the business. It generates over $100 million for the state of South Dakota. Over 50% of the revenue from the lottery comes back to the state, 50%, one of the highest in the nation. And I know that this board is going to continue to look for ways to improve this business for the state of South Dakota. The people have voted on it. Let's just look at the merits of the bill, and I hope you can support it. Thank you.
Any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Bob Ryder. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Music and Vending Association of South Dakota. And I want to echo some of the comments Representative Peterson made. You know, the Lottery Commission now is very focused on their responsibilities, and they're doing an excellent job of fulfilling the responsibilities they have, and they're an energized group. As he indicated, they're looking at it as how do you best operate this business in which the state is a partner with. It's actually the state's business, but we're a partner with the state as operators and locations. The bill that's been introduced in part was a result of a strategic planning that the commission went through. These citizens of our state spent a lot of their own time and effort looking closely at this business and trying to come up with some strategies on how they can best operate it for the state of South Dakota. And this bill is a product of that effort. I personally commend them for their effort and for being forward-looking, and I would hope that this committee could approve the bill and pass it to the Senate floor. Thank you.
Any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Larry Mann. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Video Lottery Establishments. And not to repeat what's been said earlier, we've established a really positive working relationship, not only with Mr. Lingle, but with the board and the staff. We appreciate their time and attention and the things they've tried to do. Keep in mind, this business is 25 years old. A lot of things have changed, communication, the lineup games, and we need some of these things to just kind of keep up with where the industry needs to be and keep those revenues coming. So we urge your support. Thank you.
Any further proponents? Thank you. Well, we would just remind you, I mean, I know you'll know, but just keep it to new material. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Licensed Beverage Dealers of South Dakota, and we just want to go on record as being in support of this legislation and thanking the commission for their forward-looking approach to regulating the video lottery system in South Dakota.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty. I didn't mean to single you out or anything, and I know that you understand. Any further proponents? Hearing none. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 52? We will need you to sign in, though.
Thank you, Chair and Committee. I'm Representative Werner. I served on the Lottery Commission from 2004.
Excuse me, Representative. Okay. Would you identify what district you're from?
District 22.
Thank you.
Representing Beadle and Kingsbury. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. I served on the Lottery Commission from 2004 through 2012, and it was a great pleasure to work with staff and the commission and the vendors and the retailers to develop a strategic plan on what we could do differently or enhance the lottery, since it is a major revenue source for our state. And this bill is a result of that strategic plan. Over the 26 years the lottery has been in existence, they've provided a little over $2 billion to the state for revenue. And so this bill provides specifically fresh and ideas and enhances the entertainment value for players and should be a benefit to everyone. This gives a lottery additional tools to work with their vendors. And again, I would ask that you would support this bill, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Hearing none, any opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Dale Barcher. I'm a registered lobbyist with the Family Heritage Alliance Action. The Family Heritage Alliance Action will oppose any expansion of video lottery in our home state of South Dakota. Unfortunately, we fully recognize and realize that video lottery is here to stay. We have had that statewide discussion at the ballot box four times, but we believe that only but proves that many of your constituents are passionate enough to bring this issue of video lottery to a vote four times. South Dakota legalized video lottery in 1989. We became the first in the nation to do so, and since then, this gaming option has brought a steady stream of revenue. But we have also seen a steady stream of broken lives and societal ills. In light of this fact, respected South Dakota mental health authorities like the Keystone Treatment Center have stated, and I quote, known as the crack cocaine of the gaming video lottery is one of the most addictive forms of gaming today. Compulsive video lottery gambling is a progressive illness which is diagnosable and treatable. It affects the gambler, the family, the employer, and the community. It is called the hidden illness, since there is no smell on the breath, no stumbling of steps or speech. Nonetheless, video lottery gambling addiction is as debilitating as alcohol or drug addiction, end quote. A study conducted by the Mountain Plains a few years ago found that for every $1 million spent on video lottery, we buy 172 crimes as a result. These crimes range from burglary and bad checks to child neglect when parents leave their children unattended or let them go hungry while the addiction is fed. To say that we are concerned about the secondary negative effects of an expansion of video lottery gaming is an understatement. Although Senate Bill 52 contains a number of most likely needed style and change form issues and deals with some small lottery ticket measures, it is more than just a cleanup bill. It remains in part an expansion of the opportunity to diversify a person's video gambling options. This bill, minus its style and form issues, only but encourages a person to play longer and more repetitively as he or she plays the penny credits. We would respectfully ask you to oppose Senate Bill 52 in its current form and encourage its sponsor to bring a style and form bill, a true cleanup bill, without expanding video lottery in our great state. To fix this bill, for those of us who oppose the expansion of video lottery, we believe it would be simple. Number one, remove the 1 cent credit from Section 1, Line 12. Number two, there is no number two. Number one, remove the 1 cent credit from Section 1, Line 12. Thus, you salvage a bill, maintaining at the same time the principle, of holding the line on video lottery in our state. Once again, please consider removing the 1 cent credit from line one, from section one, line 12. And I do thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony. Any further opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Cindy Flackel. I am a registered lobbyist for Concerned Women for America of South Dakota. And consistent with our past history of opposing any expansion of video lottery in South Dakota, we too stand in opposition of this bill because it would negatively impact families. Thank you.
Any further opponents? Would Mr. Lingle like a rebuttal?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I guess I don't view this as an expansion of video lottery. $2 remains the max bet. $1,000 remains the max award. Penny is less than a nickel, dime, or quarter. And so we're still, in my opinion, working within the framework of the existing statute. The one thing, to me, that the that we in South Dakota need to look at are barriers for entry into this market. And so making these to kind of conform with what the other jurisdiction has will help us preserve video lottery. Once again, I don't feel we're working with outside the existing statute. And then I will just also add that the lottery does provide dollars to assist with problem gambling folks as well. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We'll close testimony and open it up for questions from the committee. Senator Bogalka.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got one question for you, Mr. Lingle, please. In Section 7, on page 7, it talks about the removing this ratio based on bets. There is somewhere else in statute or that there still is going to be a payout ratio, correct? There still is a formula where, you know, the lottery and the machine owner and the establishment still have to get their, are still going to get their same percentage, correct?
Right, Mr. Chair, that is correct. By administrative rule, the max payback percentage is 92% with the minimum, I believe, at 80%. This does not affect the payback percentage at all.
Okay. This would more refer to just an individual player who sits down at one point in time, correct? More so, I mean, on one machine.
Mr. Chair, it would. It basically is how you develop the pay table and the various wins within that particular game. It would allow flexibility to the manufacturers to develop those various sizes of wins, keeping in mind they still need to fall within that 80 to 92% payback.
All right. Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? Mr. Lingle, I have one. Sorry to let you get up there real quick. On page 6, line 8, when you remove the reference to the state corrections facility funds, I understand the removal of the lottery prize payment fund because that was never used. Has video lottery revenues ever been used to the state corrections facility funds? And if so, is this anything that we need to alert appropriations about, or is this going to change how the state spends its money?
Good question, Mr. Chair. I believe this is language that was from the early to mid-90s, and the obligation has been met. We have talked to BFM about this, and they did not have any issue with removing this particular fund.
Okay, thank you. Before you get up, I'll just ask if there are any further questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hearing none, we will close it for questions and move to discussion and or action from the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Jensen.
I'd like to offer an amendment. This would involve line 1 of page 1 after, for an act entitled, comma, an act, eliminate up to, on line 2, to authorize.
Would you repeat that, please, Senator Jensen?
Looking at amending.
Oh, it is.
Is this going to be a title amendment or
yes,
substantive?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Title amendment, line 1, after for an act entitled, comma, an act, delete to authorize on up to line 2, where it begins to authorize the award.
Okay, so the amendment is on page 1, line 1, in the title. The new reading, it would be to strike on line 1, to authorize 1 cent credit denominations for video lottery machines. That would be stricken.
Order.
Senator Bogalka.
I believe that is a title amendment. We can't do that unless we first amend the bill.
That's what I was thinking as well, because it doesn't get to the substance of what I think I know where Senator Jensen is going to go with this, but I would ask Senator Jensen, please, if that is your intent, would you please move the substantive amendment first, and then we can deal with the title amendment afterwards if one is needed.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I stand corrected. Line 12, eliminate after the word credit, the word one.
Second.
Okay. A move to amend Senate Bill 52 would be on page 1, line 12, to strike 1, basically doing away with the penny, with the penny debt limit. Senator Jensen, do you have any comment on that motion?
No, I just think I'd like to see that done on this bill. Thank you.
Okay. A motion to amend, strike the penny bet limit, has been moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Bogalka. This is a voice vote. Does the chair have an option to do a roll call vote on this? The chair would request a roll call vote on this amendment. I think it's one that would be substantive enough. So, Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
No.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
No.
Maher?
No.
Lederman?
No.
Pauline?
No.
2 yes, 5 no.
The motion to amend Senate Bill 52 has failed by a vote of 5-2, or 2-5, I guess, would rather be it. The chair does thank Senator Jensen for moving that. I think it was the right discussion to have as part of this bill. With that, we will go back to discussing Senate Bill 52 in general. Any discussion from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lederman.
Well, I'd like to thank the Video Lottery Commission. I know that in the past it has been primarily a regulatory board. And I know that in the previous year, under the direction of our governor and some of the new members and representatives that are in this room that testified, they've taken the time to make that board more of a public-private partnership with the industry. And that has, obviously, through this legislation, brought forth some positive changes. I'd like to also make a motion, not to stymie any conversation, but I'd like to move due pass on the bill.
Order. I would agree with point of order. I have not closed for discussion yet. Did not specifically say and or committee action, but thank you for that. I believe we're close to that point, but I do want to have anyone else who wants to discuss the bill.
Thank you.
No further discussion now.
I will make a motion without preparatory comments of a due pass motion.
Senator Maher moves due pass on Senate Bill 52, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any comment on that?
No, thank you.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
No.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Pauline?
Aye.
6 yes, 1 no.
The vote is 6 yes and 1 no for Senate Bill 52. Moves to the floor with a recommended due pass. I would like to thank the committee and everyone involved for a good testimony on the bill. And with that, the chair will remind everyone to leave your binders. And the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Senator Lederman moves. Oops, sorry. Motion to adjourn moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Johnston. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned.